Hi.
Brandela.
Hi.
Hey.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
How is everybody?
Doing good.
Okay.
So we're on our last section of Bereshit. Section 71. And we'll be starting with verse 432. And I'll send you food. L'shem yichud kushka barichu ishkin te bit hilu urchimu ut hilu ut hilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud hei bavav hei b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Le'mud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'neneihu. Rabbi Yehuda Patach Lechu Chazu Mipalot Elokim Asher Sam Shamot Baretz Aikira Ochmuha Veitmar Avalechu Hazu Wigomer Dilu Awo Mipalot Yud Hei Blav Hei Sam kiyom baretz aval begin dehawo mifalot shema de lokim sam shamot baretz. Rabbi Yehuda expounded upon the verse, "Come, behold the works of Elohim, who has made desolations in the earth." He said that this text has been explained, but if the world would have been created by Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph, a name indicative of mercy, then it would have given earth a firm structure. But since it was created by the works of Elohim, which is judgment, a desolation, a wasteland, He has made desolations in the earth. It seems the Zohar had a different version, because in our scriptures it is written, the works of Hashem. Questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody's quiet.
I know. Well, on the two, it seems on the surface, we're seeing the two names of Hashem indicating mercy and indicating judgment.
I
don't quite understand the last sentence that's all in caps. It seems that Zohar had a different version, because in our scriptures it is written the works of Hashem. I don't understand that.
Well, I'm looking up the verse in Psalms, and I think this is the verse, but I need to make sure. It's 46:9.
Yeah.
Well, it says the verse translation is come, behold the works of the Lord, or the works of Hashem, who hath made desolations in the earth. But actually, the word that's being translated as desolations is also names, Shemot.
And those letters, if you had Hey Vav Hey spelled out.
Yes. But that's true every time you say Yud Hey Vav Hey. You're also always spelling, every time you say any letter in the Torah, there is a concealed aspect of that letter, which is the letter's name, the name of the letter spelled out. So I believe the spelling out is, let me take 612. The spelled out name has a gematria of 45. That's really what the Zohar is telling us.
Okay, which is Adam.
Which is Adam, which is Zeron Kin, would be a name indicative of mercy. But the world was created in judgment. And based on a judgment, strict judgment means cause and effect happens immediately with no time between them. So the world would have been is a desolation. It's a wasteland. But it's the full verse. If I read the full verse in Hebrew, Lechu chazo mipalot Hashem asher sham sam shemot baretz. So another way of interpreting that is to chazo is like from chazinu. It's the same idea of hear or see the works of the Lord, which. Has created or who has made the names or the desolations in the earth. And we have heard that before. This, it's not this verse, but there's a verse in Tanakh that the Zohar tells us to interpret the word Shin Mem Vav Tav, which could be Shemot, but it can also be different vowels. It gets translated as desolation. And the Zohar explains that the 1,000 years of pleasure that is supposed to be Shabbat can also be 1,000 years of desolation. 1,000 years where the world is cleansed of all of the negativity that man has imbued into the earth. And if you consider Antarctica as having been a part of the continents when there was just one continent, and it was before the world was our current version of the world. It was the first version, you know, the 974 generations before there was Adam. Then the world goes through a period of desolation where it returns to its pristine aspect. And the Antarctic continent is literally pristine. The snow, the ice, everything there, it's untouched by man and has been now for 5,000 years, except for a few bit the last couple of hundred years. So this is really the lead off of this idea that the word Shemot, meaning names, and Shin Mem stands for Samach Mem, which is a way we relate to Satan. So there's a lot of ways to interpret this verse. And that's really what's being expressed in this verse from the Zohar in a concealed way.
And Shin Mem also would sort of have the idea of fire and water associated with those letters.
Exactly. And what is fire and water? It's Chesed and Geburah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the name Elohim, there's a name in the 72 names. I think it's Yud Hey Lamed, but it's those three letters, the middle three letters of Elohim. So you have that name from the 72 names represents mercy. So built into the name Elohim is the aspect of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But the name of Elohim is judgment. But it's connected to Elohim. It's connected to mercy as well. Let's go on to verse
433. Okay.
Amar lo Rabbi Chayayo Hashtaitarat Lehailav Anake Amina Leia Begin Devein Shemada Uvein Shemada Kola Ushivcha aval anamina leya kimalitaru avraya tishave shemahan shamot baretz shemot mamash. Rabbi Chiya said to him, although you believe that desolations, which is the word shamot, signifies a wasteland, coming from the Hebrew word ashemama, I see it differently, because both the names Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Elohim indicate benevolence. I tend to agree with the friends in saying that he had placed shemot, names, in the earth. Shemot alludes to actual names that he put in the earth. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Made me think of the word Father as well as the word Abba. And they're both the same person.
Correct. But it's really saying the same thing. This word Shavuot or Shemot, with that one change of the vowel, we translate the word differently. It comes. It's not desolations. It's names.
Mm-hmm.
And there are names in the earth. You know, there's a reason why cities are named what they're named. You know, and you go back in history, and if we want to look at it from the standpoint of physical history, oh, it's named after this man who was unique in history, or you know, the city of New York was named after the city of York in England. But it's a New York. It's a brand new city. But that's what's the energy of the name New York? What's the energy of the name? And that's the reason that it's called by that name. And you've had names, if you go into the Middle East and if you go into the Europe and Asia, they've had, you know, different civilizations have named the same location by different names. But each of those names essentially has the same energy when you do truly analyze the names. Otherwise, the name won't last.
Hey, Hanog, Malcolm.
Yes. How are you, Malcolm?
Good, thank you. I took that as in the beginning, and when you said he put the names in the earth, what came to mind was he put the 12 tribes in the earth, their names. I mean, that's basically, he created a nation, and then from there they split up or exiles and went into different nations. So that's kind of what came to my mind, was that he put the names in the earth, and I'm thinking of the tribes.
Well, in order to do that, because I don't understand the idea of putting names in the earth, but the word Ba'aretz, the bet in front, can mean in the earth or it can mean on the earth.
Right.
And so when it comes to the tribes, he put them on the earth. He put the people on the earth.
That's my thoughts, but
it's good.
Because they were basically the walking Torah. They, you know, they did the action, and basically, you know, it was written as to what happened and what took place, and you know, they actually walked out the words of God, basically.
Well, they were living the words of God if they were righteous, but they weren't, you know, they were not living the words of God if they weren't. And then the effect of that was to go into exile.
Right.
Is it not trying to get over the idea that the letters that become names give the essence to whatever is named?
That's what it's hinting at, yes. I think you're going to find it interesting in the next verse.
Okay.
Verse 434. Rabbi Yitzhak Amar Kolahu Vafilu Madi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shapir Ka Amar Ilu Yehe Alma Bishma Dirachame Yitkayem Alma aval begin de it bere. Alma aldina. Quikaima aldina. Dam shamot baretz. Wishapir hu deil male. Tach la yakil. Almad le it kaima. Mikame ho vechon. Ivne nasha. Rabbi Yitzhak said that both interpretations are true, and even the one put forward by Rabbi Yehuda is good. For if the world was created with the name of mercy, then the world would have been resilient. Yet because the world was created by judgment and is founded upon judgment, he put holy names in the earth to protect it. And this is very true, because had he not done so, he would not have been able to survive. The world would not have been able to survive the consequences of people's negative actions, of people's sins. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I find that he's talking in this paragraph that he's talking of the righteous people that are here that continues to save or to honor his name, basically.
Well, I think it's saying that he created Yeshua because he knew what man was born to be like.
Yes, he did that, and both of you are correct. But here's a different way of perceiving what the words are actually saying in the English. God spoke, and whatever he spoke came into being. So what we see as a physical form is actually a string of letters. And that string of letters is what gives us the perception of the physical form. And what he's saying here, he had not put the Hebrew letters into the word.
Hello?
Those forms, the world, the form of the world would not have been able to stay together in unity if they weren't protected by these letters, which are names that are the essence of everything that we see and do.
You know, Hanok, that kind of sounds like, and I don't mean to relate it to normal life or to an illusion, but it sounds a whole lot like that movie that they made, The Matrix. Everything was seen in letters. And
correct.
Then,
with computer code running in the background, but people
right.
would see what they expected to see in forms. And that is literally
right.
the way the world is. It's not a computer form, but the letters are within the essence. If you put an orange in your hand, to hold it in your hand, you see an orange, but a Kabbalist sees the letters in the word orange.
And you know, I've looked at that show many times with the intention of watching the computer screen to see if I could visually actually see a physical form from the letters, knowing that that's the way it is. But I guess we're just not on that level yet.
The question is, does it take all of the people to be on that level? or does it take just certain ones, which is the way it's been in every other generation? And those are the people we call Tzaddikim.
That's interesting.
When we read the Torah, we read a story. But the story is a garment. It's a clothing concealing. What's it concealing? Letters. Letters forming into words. The story is the actual actions. The name Abraham is a human being who lived X number of thousand years ago, but Abraham is also a metaphor, meaning Abraham means the soul before it comes into the body. Actually, Avram means the soul before it comes into the body, and Abraham means the soul after it enters the body. But that's a process.
So then, is that the actual, the letters in his name, is that the actual letters that describe the soul, what it actually,
yes,
the form of that?
Yes. But
how
it's not just, it's not the letters of Avraham, Aleph, Bet, Resh, Hey, Yud, Mem. No, it's Hey, Mem. It's not those five letters. It's also the spelled out letters. So the Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Peh. The Resh is, Resh? Yud is Yud, Vav, Dalet. Hey is Hey, Yud, or could be Hey, Aleph, or K, Hey. All of these different spelled out levels are built into the name Avraham. But we only see the simplest letters. And then there's another level. There's three levels. There's the letter, the name, the letter name, the spelled out letter, and then the second time the letter is spelled out. So it's Yud Hey Vav Hey, and then it's Yud Vav Dalet Hey Aleph Vav Aleph Vav Hey Aleph, and then it's Yud Vav Dalet again. Vav is Vav Vav or Vav Aleph Vav or Vav Yud Vav, and then the Dalet is Dalet Lamed Taf. So you go up to three levels, and that's what's built into the name Avraham. That's what's built into the name Hashem.
So are there 10 levels?
There are 10 levels, but there's a limitation while we're in the physical body that we can only go the simple level and two additional levels.
So we can only go three levels up.
A total of three levels, yes.
So Hanok, if we decode, decode the names of the Tzaddikim, let's just say, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so forth and so on. If we decode that and put it into the words or the letters with the letters, and then we map that out or write that out, we actually are getting to the purest truth of what Hashem is speaking of. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So we could do that and have a complete interpretation of the coded letters he's using for the righteous beings here that walk the earth and get his true meaning of what his creation was about.
That is correct.
Wow.
But yeah, it's even more than that, Malka. Because when you write that out and now are looking at those letters and saying the names of those letters and putting those into words, rearranging them, permutating them, as we have taught you to do, you are mm-hmm. creating whatever those words now mean.
What do you mean now mean?
So then, sense, is she recreating what God created?
Or you're creating something new.
And so she actually then becomes the creator.
Correct. And that's why that's why Kabbalah is so powerful, and it only works if you have cleansed yourself. You have changed yourself. Because if you were the same person that you were in your last lifetime, those letters and that term permutation wouldn't work for you. Because it only works for the people who have cleansed themselves. The process of writing the letters out cleanses you.
Wow. Could that be dangerous? I mean, you talked about how Eve rearranged the letters and brought...
If you have a big desire to receive, yes, it can be dangerous. But in our generation, our desire to receive has become so minuscule that that because the desire to receive is what draws the light, we're not able to draw dangerous light. We can no longer destroy the world, but in earlier generations, if they had done that, when they did that, they destroyed things.
That's because we're not in the upper worlds like Adam and Eve Abraham. No,
it's because we truly don't have a desire to receive of any capacity. Put it in the level of a child. What does a 2-year-old mm-hmm. want? He wants to control his world. What is his world? You know, it's pick-up sticks, it's jacks, it's, Lego blocks. He doesn't have the capacity to go past that. He has no desire to go past that. He's satisfied with the pleasure he receives from his Lego blocks.
He's content.
And then he's not satisfied. His focus of attention changes. But he has no strong desire. He desires to feed, he desires to somebody clean him, but he really has no big desire to receive. Now go to somebody like, as an example, Donald Trump. Does Donald Trump want to control the world? No. He wants to make America great again, whatever that means. It's not a big desire to receive in comparison to Alexander the Great, who wanted to conquer the world. He wanted to control the whole world. But at the same time, he wanted to get away from his mother. And that's what the motivation was, to conquer the world. Alexander the Great had a huge desire to receive. If Moses had taught him, if the high priest had taught him what I'm teaching you and what my teachers taught me, Alexander would have destroyed the world. But today, there's nobody in the world who has that desire to receive. The biggest desire to receive is to lie on a beach and enjoy yourself. Sun is lie in the sun.
But the Kabbalists.
I'm sorry?
The Kabbalists are looking to receive more of the light,
yes.
Right?
Yes, so, they have the biggest desires to receive. That's literally what happens as you study Kabbalah. Your desire to receive grows. But because as it grows, you are cleansing the vessels, the sefirot, there's no danger of the Kabbalist exploding the world.
Oh, I didn't mean it as such. Just I meant it as just wanting to receive more light.
Yes, and that is what the Kabbalist desires, to receive more light, to be closer to Hashem. And that's positive aspects, right? It's not
right.
A desire to get close to the negative system. It's not a desire to control other people.
Right.
I hope I'm getting across the idea here.
Yeah, I just have to reevaluate desire from a spiritual aspect. Look at it a little differently.
Correct. And that's what's hinted at in the three verses that we read.
I think finally we might be getting what we're just... Huh?
Go ahead.
But maybe we finally are getting the little bit of knowledge from the three verses. Maybe it's just now beginning to open up windows into those verses.
Baruch Hashem, that's what it's all about. And as tomorrow when we finish this section, we'll decide what is our desire for the future. What do you want to learn? And the three choices is to say I'm going to learn the whole Zohar one verse at a time in order, and that would mean going to Noah. Or if I want to learn the energy of healing, to learn Pinchas. And while that's not a complete on the Daily Zohar, if you scan and read the commentaries for the book of Pinchas, you have a gist of it. It's not complete, but we could start Pinchas. Or the third one is Pikudei, which we're taught is the literally the metaphor for the creation, because it's describing the Beit HaMikdash. It's describing the building of the tabernacle in the desert, and it's describing the clothing of the high priest, and it's describing also the negative system that was created. All of that is built into the section in the book of Pikudei. If you look at the physical Zohar books, it's I believe it's volume 13. It's a whole book. It's the thickest book in the set, and it's all on this one parasha. That it's a question of people's desires, and I'm amenable to any of the three. I have one vote for Pinchas, and I haven't really heard from anybody else.
Well, my vote is creation. I mean, that's where it all started. So, my thoughts is that we have to start from the foundation of all the other books that come into play. That's my suggestion.
Well, that would
it's
mean
actually
what?
Pretty
to just to continue to the Noahs? Or to go to Piku Day?
Well, mine was Pincus. And that was because there's so many who are sick. And I just feel like, personally myself, I've studied the tabernacle and even designed a high priest garment. And we've gone through some of the chapters on the third temple already. And
we'll do that again, because that's what we're supposed to do during the three-week period that's coming up.
I can go either way. I would love to learn all of it. My desire is great to learn all that I can learn. So there will not be any section that I do not care to learn. So.
Well, you're younger, so right now, Putin doesn't mean as much to you as it does to Arjun, you know, those that I know, those that I'm around. I mean, even on my trip this weekend to New Orleans, I intertwined this very sick person with cancer, his name, with the Tetragrammaton, and I put it where I could see it. I sat in the back seat and put it in the pocket of the front seat, you know, of the driver's seat, so I could see it. And every time I looked at it and intertwined those letters, and then I found that when we got down anywhere, those letters were still just rolling in my head for that person. So whether I was actually focusing on that name for healing for him. And then it dawned on me that this was the same week, it was Shalak Lakha, that last year I had learned about how the Tetragrammaton was like a sword. And so here it was coming in a different form, and yet a different level of meaning for me by intertwining his name. And no matter where I went, you know, when I kind of put up my head, I'd see those letters flashing before my eyes. And I don't know, just over, maybe because I'm called on to pray for sick people so much. That's why I'm so strong on Pincus.
And that's
two volumes. It's not just one. It's two volumes of Zohar.
Okay.
They haven't even cut, you know, but that's me.
And that's fine. That's you're really spreading your knowledge and your concerns and your. I think it's a beautiful thought.
It is.
I mean, we've got Brian's mother. We've got Brandy. We've got myself. We've got Judy's husband. We've got next door neighbor. We've got I don't know how many people in the synagogue. You know, I'll stop there.
That's fine. That's great. I mean, yeah, that's fine. Then sign me up for Pincus. That's fine. I agree.
Brandy, are you voting on this? Takes her a while to unmute.
Mm-hmm. So I had to mute. I had some stuff going on here. I don't know. I like all of them. I'd like to learn more healing and learn more about creation and especially Noah, because that's my birth. So, you know, and I always have Noah's Ark at my house.
Yeah, that's true.
It is. I would have made a good Noah's wife.
All right, I'll wait to hear what the mothers, but you know, we'll know what we're doing on Wednesday.
Okay.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon.